Well, the beginning of a new year brings renewed hope that we will make some choices enabling us to live healthier, hopefully happier lives in the new year. Of course, living healthier requires that we eat a well-balanced diet and get some exercise. So here we are now, the 1st of February. I'm having to renew the resolutions I made to start January. That hasn't worked so well, so we'll just start over now in February, right? And that is true on an individual and personal basis in terms of living healthier and happier lives, but it is also true at a corporate level, that there are some choices that as a church we must make if we want to be healthier in 2017. This morning we are concluding our series looking at imperatives for a healthy new year. And the theme verse for this series comes from the Old Testament prophet Zechariah chapter 11 verse 16, which says, "I am about to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are going astray, and he will not seek the lost or heal the broken. He will not sustain the healthy, but he will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hooves." We've talked about the fact that that verse in its context is God saying to the nation of Israel, because of their rebelliousness and their unwillingness to follow him, he's going to give them a worthless shepherd who will not care for them at all, but in fact will abuse them and use them to his own advantage. And yet in that verse, if you take the word "not" out of it, you have a beautiful description of what a good shepherd would do for his sheep. And that's the perspective we've been looking at this verse for these imperatives for a healthy new year. So on the 1st of January, we introduced 4 God-given imperatives for our church to be healthy in this new year. We said we must care for those who are disconnected or the wayward. We must seek the lost. We must heal the broken. And we must sustain the healthy. And each week we have examined one of those different imperatives in more detail. And while we must absolutely give time and attention to caring for those who are disconnected, seeking the lost, and healing the broken, we cannot neglect to sustain those who are healthy. We all know what happens when it comes to our health if we aren't proactive. We all know what happens to our level of fitness if we just stop exercising and stop eating correctly, right? We don't maintain that same level, do we? We digress, regress, we go backward. Well, the same is true spiritually speaking as well. We must be proactive and ensure that we sustain our spiritual health. The word that's used here in our text from Zechariah for sustain occurs about 40 times. It means to nourish, to sustain, or to feed. And so the final imperative for our church to be healthy this year is that we must sustain the healthy. Well, that sounds good. How do we do that? How do we accomplish this imperative of sustaining the healthy? Well, let's look at a very popular Old Testament passage to get some direction in seeking to answer just that question. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Because Psalm 23 reveals God as our good shepherd. This passage is so rich and beautiful, it could be viewed from many different perspectives, revealing just beautiful gems from all those different angles. But this morning, I want to examine this wonderful, beautiful psalm from the perspective of what we as a church need to do in order to sustain the healthy. As we look at what God, our good shepherd, does for us, we discover 5 tasks to sustain the healthy. We could also look at these from the perspective of expectations. In other words, what can you expect from a church? Well, here's five expectations that you ought to have for the church. The first task or expectation, first task in sustaining the healthy is to provide fresh food. Now, that's got you hungry for lunch, right? David writes in verses 1, first part of verse 2, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, the region in which David lived and took care of his father's sheep as a young boy was a dry and semi-arid region. It was the responsibility of the shepherd to find green, lush pastures for the sheep to be able to graze in. The shepherd was responsible to provide fresh food for the flock to ensure their continued growth and health. Now, for many shepherds, green pastures didn't just happen by chance. The shepherd would take the time to clear rough and rocky terrain, remove the brush and the roots and some of the harmful plants, and then they would plow and seed that pasture, creating that green space for the sheep to come and eat. Some of those green pastures were the result of the labor of the shepherd in preparing fresh food for his flock. To be healthy in 2017, we need a well-balanced diet of fresh food. I mean, nobody wants leftovers that have grown old and stale and mold is beginning to form. Now, we want fresh food. And of course, spiritually speaking, this fresh food is the Word of God. Jesus, when tempted in the wilderness to turn stones into bread to feed his physical hunger, replied to Satan and said, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So if we want to be healthy in 2017, we need to spend time daily in God's Word. We need that fresh food every morning, beginning our day, spending time in God's presence and feeding on God's Word. We need to gather with others and study God's Word on Sunday morning. We have a number of different groups on Sunday mornings at 9:15. Find the one that works for you, but I want to encourage you to make that commitment to be involved in studying God's Word with other individuals, teachers who have prayed and prepared, and when you show up on Sunday, we've got a fresh word from God's Word for you. New studies that begin all the time as we look at God's Word from fresh and new perspectives. And want to commit that when you come here for worship, you know, that we're going to have something new, something fresh to feed on. And we'll take a look at what God's Word has to say to our circumstance in life today where we are. Excited about the series that will start next Sunday as we just take a look at our awesome God. There is so much unrest in our country right now. I think it's very important that we take some time to focus our eyes upon this awesome God that we serve. Because it's so easy to get distracted by all the things going on around us. That's going to start next Sunday. And we'll take a look at some specific names that we find of God in Scripture and how that ministers to us. You have a right to expect fresh food when you come to church. The second task in sustaining the healthy is to provide clean water. David writes in verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Now, even though sheep exist and thrive in dry, semi-arid regions, they still require water. A sheep's body consists of about 70% of water on average. So sufficient water is essential for vitality and strength and health for the sheep. And when sheep are thirsty, they get restless. And they will set out in search of water to try and satisfy their thirst. And if they're not led to good water supplies with clean, pure water, then they'll end up drinking polluted water, and they'll pick up parasites and infections. The good shepherd provides the flock with clean, pure water to drink. Now, there were three main sources of water for the flock. There is dew that accumulates on the grass in the early morning hours, and that would be sufficient if it's a heavy dew that they could get enough water just from eating the grass in the early morning. They could also get water from deep wells or from springs or streams. Now, if they're going to drink from a spring or a stream, the shepherd had to take some time to create kind of a dam so the water could pool and not be running, where the sheep then could come and get a drink from that pooled water. Because running water is a hazard for sheep. I mean, they would just fill up that wool with water and they could get carried off downstream. They're afraid of the running water. So the shepherd has to intentionally prepare a spot for that water to pool so the sheep can come and get a drink. Now, most everybody knows that any health plan physically that you embark upon has this one ingredient: water. Right? Drink lots of water. I'm kind of convinced that all the other things are a hoax, and it's really the water that's the weight loss key. You know, drink at least 64 ounces of water a day, right? And they say there are tremendous health benefits that accompany drinking that much water. I mean, one, physical exercise. I have to go to the bathroom a whole lot more during the day when I'm drinking that much water. Maybe that's just my age. Water is essential for life. Can't live without it. Jesus, our good shepherd, said he is the source of living water. In fact, John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus says that on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." Water quenches. Water renews. Water is this picture of cleansing and renewal. Sometimes water is a symbol of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we discover here in Psalm 23 that to be healthy, we need to let God's Holy Spirit wash over us with God's holy word, cleansing us, renewing us. The truth of God's word, as illuminated by God's Spirit, will protect us from those parasites that seek to sap our strength and ruin our health spiritually. Not only do we need fresh food, we also need pure water to renew and refresh and to cleanse our lives. You have a right to expect clean water. God's truth presented faithfully every week. As you gather in those small group studies of God's Word, we're going to be challenged and confronted with God's truth. Challenged and confronted sometimes with our sin that needs to be dealt with. And as we submit to that, then that water of God's Spirit rushing over us, cleansing, renewing us. We need the clean water of God's truth applied by God's Spirit to renew and refresh our hearts and lives. Third task to sustain the healthy is to provide proper guidance. Verse 3 says, "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Our good shepherd will guide us in the right paths, those paths of righteousness and holiness. He'll guide us down paths that will draw us closer to Him. He will guide us down paths that will help us to trust Him more. He'll guide us down paths that will ultimately bring great glory to His name. Because the reality is, sheep need to be guided, don't they? Sheep by themselves are prone to wander off and get lost.
Sheep have no sense of direction. They need the tender care of the shepherd, guiding them, leading them down the right paths in life. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, writes this insightful remarks about sheep. He says, "The greatest single safeguard which a shepherd has in handling his flock is to keep them on the move. That is to say, they dare not be left on the same ground too long. They must be shifted from pasture to pasture periodically. This prevents overgrazing of the forage. It also avoids the rutting of trails and erosion of land from overuse. It forestalls the reinfestation of the sheep with internal parasites or disease, since the sheep move off the infested ground before these organisms complete their life cycles." You see, the shepherd has a deliberate plan to move the sheep. It's a plan of rotation where he's deliberately, intentionally keeping them on the move, going to that fresh food and clean water. It is a continual movement forward to produce spiritual, physical growth and health. Our good shepherd is guiding us. He is moving us forward so that we too can grow more spiritually mature. Can't stand still. Can't stay too long in that pasture. He's got other places for us to go. Fresh food for us to receive. Clean water to drink. Our good shepherd is guiding us, moving us forward so that we can grow in holiness. He'll lead us down paths of righteousness to help us become more Christ-like in our attitudes, in our thoughts, in our actions. He is guiding and directing, but we have to choose to follow. And God's Word provides lots of practical wisdom. When followed or obeyed, produces an abundant, overflowing life. Proverbs 4:11-13 says, "I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life." Follow the guidance of the Good Shepherd, and he will lead you in the right and best paths to take. In the context of a church family, we receive guidance and direction not only through God's Word and through God's Spirit, but also guidance and direction through God's people. That we have others speaking God's truth into our hearts and lives. That balance of people who also are helping to hold us accountable and follow in the path that God has prepared for us. The fourth task of sustaining the healthy is to provide loving protection. Because let's be honest, we all know life is not always green pastures. Life is not always quiet, calm waters. Sometimes those green pastures turn into rough and rocky terrain. Sometimes those still waters become stormy and turbulent seas. David declares here in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." Where does such confidence come from? He says, "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David's confidence and peace when facing turbulent times came from knowing he wasn't facing those times all alone. He knew that the Lord, his good shepherd, was present with him, and because he was present, his good shepherd would lead him safely through the turbulent circumstances. Now, since the church is the body of Christ in the world today, this verse reveals a very important task in sustaining the healthy. And it is this ministry of presence. As a church, We walk alongside of one another to support and to encourage one another when facing those turbulent and trying times. It's not a question of if you're ever going to face them. It's a question of when they come. And when they come, you have this assurance that you'll not walk through that valley all alone. It is tremendously comforting to know that when life's trials come, not only is the Lord our good shepherd with us, but we are also blessed to experience His presence in the company of His people. His presence takes on flesh and blood. Because people come alongside and they wrap their arms around you and they let you know that you are loved and that you are not alone. And that together we're going to come through this. As challenging and as difficult as the circumstance, whatever it may be, there is this tremendous comfort and encouragement of realizing that I'm not going to face that. I'm not going to go through that alone. There are going to be people who are walking alongside of me and sometimes carrying me. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, "Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Later on in chapter 5, verse 11, he writes, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." I have mentioned repeatedly of what a blessing it is to serve this church family, because many times when death comes or a crisis comes, I'm not the first one to get to that house to make a visit. I've gone to homes and you're already there, or you've already been there, and you come after I leave and you minister and you care and you express God's love. You have a right to expect that kind of loving protection from this family of faith. Part of our responsibility in sustaining the healthy is to provide that loving protection to one another, to help one another through life's turbulent times. Finally, the last task to sustain the healthy is to provide opportunities to serve. Serving is kind of the exercise element of maintaining strength and health. David writes in verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows." And it's almost as if now the image has changed. We are no longer sheep in the pasture. Now we are guests in the palace. And God, our gracious host, abundantly provides for every need that we have in His presence. Now, in the immediate context, it is the picture of anointing the head with fragrant oil as you would come into the home as a guest. A shepherd also would use oil. They would use oil to anoint the sheep to try and keep the insects away from them, to also apply oil to injuries sustained. In the Bible, anointing with oil was done to soothe a person who had been injured or hurt. It's an act of medication. The priests were anointed with oil set apart to serve in the temple. That was an act of consecration. Kings were anointed with oil set apart to rule over God's people. That was an act or a symbol of coronation. Oil is also used sometimes as a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And we know that every follower of Jesus has the indwelling Holy Spirit of God within. And the Holy Spirit soothes our hurts and pains, brings healing to the injuries we've sustained. Now, if the anointing of priests and kings, that is an aspect of setting them apart for their ministry or service. Priests are anointed to serve in the temple. Kings are anointed to serve by ruling God's people. And so the anointing speaks to us here about the need to be involved in serving. We've been saved for this very purpose, that we might serve one another. To sustain the healthy, we need to exercise, and we exercise our spiritual muscles through our service to the Lord and others. Paul writes in Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to be free, brothers. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." Sustaining the healthy requires that we provide opportunities to exercise our spiritual muscles by the service we render. And there are lots of different opportunities to serve, even in the life of our church. There are also opportunities to serve needs in our community. You can help with the food pantry. You can serve in the classic shop. You can help Harvester's food distribution. You can go with us on a mission trip to Mexico in August. Use your gifts and abilities to serve the Lord by serving the needs of others. And by doing so, you will be strengthening your spiritual muscles and you'll be growing deeper in your faith. So here are five tasks then to sustain the healthy in 2017. Let's make sure we provide fresh food. Let's provide clean water. Let's provide proper guidance and loving protection. And let's provide opportunities to serve. That's what you can expect from the church. That sounds like a great group to be a part of, doesn't it? To provide all of those blessings and benefits. Four imperatives for a healthy new year. We must care for the disconnected or the wayward. We must seek the lost. We must heal the broken. And we must sustain the healthy. I encourage you this morning to make a commitment to join God in what He wants done in the life and ministry of this church. Make that commitment to fulfill these imperatives for a healthy life in 2017. The benefits and the blessings that are described here in Psalm 23 all hinge on a very important, albeit a very small word. It's the word "my." David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, he could have said, "The Lord is a shepherd." That would be true. Could have said, "The Lord is the shepherd." That also is true. But David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the things that he writes are the truths that he has learned from that relationship with the Good Shepherd. To be able to experience the benefits and the blessings that are described here, you have to be able to make that same declaration as David. It's not enough just to say, "Well, the Lord's a good shepherd," or "The Lord is the good shepherd." You have to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That I've established this relationship with the good shepherd. He's my shepherd. So that the benefits and the blessings that are described here also belong to you. And maybe as you were sitting there this morning, you know, you kind of thought, "Man, that really sounds great. I need that. Those are the things I need in my life." It comes when you have the Lord as your shepherd. And if you've never made that commitment of your life to Christ, you've never begun this relationship with God, our good shepherd, I want to give you that opportunity today. That you can just pray a prayer and let the words express that desire of your heart to come and enter into this relationship with our good shepherd. To be able to experience the benefits and the blessings described here. so that you can get more than just surviving through life. You can thrive in life. If that's you, then I want to invite you just to join me in saying a very simple prayer quietly in your heart as we go to the Lord in prayer. Just say these words with me in your heart. Say, "Dear God, thank you so much for loving me. And honestly, I've never really quite understood the depth of your love for me. We both know the life I've been living is not the life you intended for me. I've left you out, kind of gone my own way and done my own thing. And God, I confess that I've been drinking polluted water that's ruined my life and health. I desperately need you to lead me in the right and best paths of life. I ask your forgiveness for my sin. Cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. Jesus, I welcome you into my heart and life right now. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. I willingly give you complete control beginning right now. I commit to following you wherever you lead, trusting, Lord, that you're going to lead me in the right and best paths. Thank you for hearing and answering my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer, making that commitment of your life to Christ, we'd like to celebrate that commitment with you. In a moment, we're going to sing a song. It's an opportunity to kind of respond to how God is speaking to you and how He's working in your heart. And if you prayed that prayer with me, I would encourage you to do something really scary. And that is just step out and walk up here and meet me at the front and say, "Pastor, I want you to know I prayed that prayer this morning. I made that commitment to Jesus." And we'll join in celebrating that commitment with you. Now, maybe that's just more than you can do. I understand that. Let me encourage you to do this if you can't do that. On the end of your bulletin, there's a section that says response card information. Check that box that says, "I'm making a first-time commitment to Christ." Turn that over on the other side and write your name, address, and a phone number. Then simply tear that off, and at the end of our service, when we take up the offering, you just place that in the offering plate. I want to give you a call this week and just celebrate with you and share with you some things that might be helpful as you begin this journey with Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and as you kind of listen to that message and we talk about those benefits of what the church should provide, in your heart you're like, "That's what I need. That's what I want to be a part of." We would welcome you to come and join with us here at First Baptist Church to fulfill those imperatives, those tasks. As we sing, an opportunity for you just to step out and communicate your desire to join this church family, and we will welcome you into what God's doing here. As we stand and sing, I invite you to come.